100%. Okay. Morning, everybody. Today's daf is daf test in Bechoros. We're finishing up daf Ches. Okay. Juggler and the King. Juggler and the King, I told you yesterday, if you want more discussion, a lot more discussion on the Gemara today, so take a look, written by Rabbi Aaron Feldman, current Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael in Baltimore. So he wrote out the Vilna Gaon's commentary to, not just wrote it out, but really like very very well written to today's Gemara. So if you want to see more explanation, we're just going to go through the Agadata in a very cursory fashion. And I'll prepare you so that when you start reading The Juggler and the King, you'll be thinking to yourself, oh yeah, I know the Gemara. Right. And then we're going to finish the Agadata. We are right in the middle of the Amud. We're in the middle of the story, really. And then we'll continue with today's daf. Okay, story goes, remember Chachmei Aton. There are these 60 members of scholars in Athens. So they were obnoxious, heretical, and I'm sure that's probably their better points. The principal character in the story is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, I told you, was one of the five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So we're talking about after the Churban Hamikdash, sometime not that long after the destruction of the Second Temple, where he's having a conversation with Caesar. Now the reason why the Gemara gets into this Agadata is because the first question that the Caesar asks Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya is about the snake in the 7 years, so is that imaginable, fathomable. Considering the fact that the Chachmei Aton, the scholars of Athens, had a snake giving birth after 3 years, and his response was very simple: they didn't know what they were talking about. They did not know what they were doing. Snake was actually already pregnant for 4 years, and it really was a 7 year gestation period. Okay, which then led a challenge from Caesar to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Why don't you go to Athens? And why don't you go find the Chachmei Aton and debate them, beat them in a debate, and bring them to me, okay? And it seems from the story, again, this is a Gadata, so, you know, it's always hard to understand how much of the story should be taken literally versus how much is, you know, beyond just what's on the printed page. But but it seems from the simple story that even the Caesar did not like the Chachmei Aton, meaning even he was pretty much had it with them. So the part of the story that we got up to yesterday was, I said 11 challenges yesterday, I was wrong. There are 12 challenges in total. Is we got up to the beginning of the 12 challenges, meaning that Yeshua ben Chananya traveled over to Athens. Remember, he brought the boat, a couple of details you need to remember just to really appreciate the end of today's story. He brought a boat with him, not just one boat, but 60 boats with him. Each one of the boats had 60 chairs on the boats. You'll see later on why that's important. And he traveled over to Athens. The first thing he needed to do was to simply find the Chachmei Aton. So he found a butcher. He basically convinced the butcher, with somewhat a deceptive means, he convinced the butcher, you'll show me the entrance to the Chachmei Aton. He finds the entrance with the help of the butcher of the Chachmei Aton. And through a couple more tricky moves, gets rid of the guards. And now he goes in. And the part that we got up to was basically now the confrontation between him and the Chachmei Aton. The first hurdle he needed to get through once he was inside was just simply a proper greeting. You remember Chachmei Aton had the younger people sitting up top, the older people sitting on the bottom. He wasn't sure how to greet them because there was obviously some sort of class division of the Chachmei Aton. If I would greet the older ones, the younger ones would get upset, etc., etc. So he just simply said, Shalom Aleichem. I'm paraphrasing. So without specifying who he was addressing the greeting to. Then he said to them, I'm a Jew, and I'd like to learn a little bit from you. So they said, okay, we'll go into a debate. And basically the rules, the parameters of the debate were as follows. He says to them, if I win the debate, you do with me whatever you want. No, other way around. Right, didn't sound right. One of the good things about recording is I start listening to myself as well as I speak. So if you win the debate, so then whatever what you do, then you do to me whatever you want. And if I win the debate, so you go with me on a cruise. Okay, that doesn't sound like really a fair, like a fair, you know, a fair standoff. Although I've never been on the cruise, and I have no desire in my lifetime to go on a cruise. But, okay. Yes, that's a good... Okay, anyway, so that's good, and that's exactly where we got up to yesterday. And we're in the middle of the Amud. The line starts smack in the middle of the Amud. The line starts, V'izachin b'chu, ichlu gabay b'sfina sa. You'll eat with me on a boat if I win the debate. Okay. Amar leh. So number one, there's going to be 12 of these in total. Okay. Exchanges of words, ideas between him and the Chachmei Aton. And now again, I preface all this by saying, I'm just providing for you the print. Okay, there's tremendous depth. You will hear it. Even as I just give you the simple pshat, you will hear the depth of the exchange between the two. I highly recommend Juggler and the King, written by Rabbi Feldman. Number one. Amaleahu gavra da'azo avai isisa v'lo yavile. My chazile de'ezel hechel demidlu mine. Let's say a guy tries to go and tries to marry a woman. And she says, no. So he gets a full rejection from this woman. Now, let me ask you a question. This is Chachmei Aton talking. Should you go after a woman who's better? Meaning, you clearly struck out on this level. So now, do you want to bring it up one level and go to another woman who is of a higher class and attach yourself to a woman of a higher class? Would you actually ask her to get married? So this is their question to him. Okay? By the way, you'll see a lot of the themes that revolve around these questions and answers is basically the chosenness of the Jewish people. Okay, it's an allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael, right. Shakal Sichta, so what did he do without giving a verbal response? So he took a peg, and he tried to put the peg in the lower end of the wall, in the bottom part of the wall, and it didn't go into the wall. Li'ilai a'al. And then what he does is he puts the same peg into a higher portion of the wall, and it goes into the wall. Right? Well, at the base is denser, it's more packed, it's more compact, and the peg doesn't go in there. But when he goes up a little bit, so it goes in. So, Amar Hai, Nami, Misrame Bas Mazle. So he says, same thing with your question, meaning, even the woman who was on this level, on the lower level, rejected him, but you never know, you may have mazel with the woman who was on a higher level, just like the peg was able to go into the wall on the higher level. Number two. Gavra de Oziv Tarif. A man lends money, and the guy defaults on the loan, and now he's tarif. He's got to foreclose on the property. Okay, and it's a royal pain to have to foreclose on the property. I understand sympathy towards the one who defaulted on the loan, but we're talking now from the perspective of the lender. So lender's going to lend money, and the guy defaults, and now you have to go and foreclose on the property. My chazad de Oziv. The guy's going to lend again. Right? In other words, this lending business doesn't seem to be working out. Unless, of course, you get a bailout from the government. But, okay, right, then it's fine. But, okay. So, my chazad ahadar ozif. So, amar lei gavra azala agma. So, again, you have Yeshua ben Chananya's response is like this. Let's say a guy goes into the forest. Kato kamatune. And he chops down a lot of bundle. Volo matzibe. And it turns out that he chops out too much, meaning too much for him to carry by himself. Okay, so now he can't go home with the bundle that he cut. So kato manachilave adis rami inish madalei. And what he's going to do is he's going to keep on cutting. Why? Because anyway, you know you're going to get help in terms of carrying this that you already cut. So you know what? If help is coming on the way anyway, so cut some more, so that way you'll. When the help comes, you'll be able to take all this and go back home. Okay, that was exchange number two. Exchange number three. Amar lei, Emalan mila de badai. They throw a direct challenge to him. Tell us something that's not true. Like, tell us a joke. Right? Badai, you see that word in the Gemara a lot. Right? Hadar Rav Ashi badaihu. Right? Tell us something which is nonsense. Amar lehu. So he says, sure, no problem. Hi, Akudnasa de Yalda. There was a mule who gave birth. Vahavatala le pitka. And there was a note attached to the baby, the mule baby. Because of Bay, Damasik Bebe Abba me afezuze. And on the note it says that they were owed to the father 100,000 zuz. Okay. What part of the story is nonsense? the baby mule, right? Amrele ukunaisa miyalda. Well, you know that can't happen. You know that a mule can't give birth. So Amrele hu, I knew mila debadai. Perfect. You asked for nonsense. I gave you nonsense. Milcha beisarya b'may malchila. Okay, number four. Let me ask you this question. Salt goes bad. Okay, salt goes bad. So b'may malchila. So how do you salt salt? Back in the good old days, salt was the preservative. They didn't have refrigeration, right? Modern convenience, modern luxury. So the way that they kept their meat is by salting it, and salt was an excellent preservative. So, but let me ask you a question. They ask Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya, how do you salt salt? Okay, Amar lahu b'silta dekudnaisa. Back to our mule. So he says, use the afterbirth of the mule, the placenta of the mule. So the Gemara says, "Umiika silta du lekunaisa." So they said, "Now come on, that's ridiculous. Well, you know that a mule is not going to give birth, and you know there's no placenta, there's no afterbirth of the mule." So his response is, "Umilcha misare." Well, does salt go bad? Okay. Number five, banilan besa be'avira de'alma. So we want you to build a building, but not here on the ground level. Not anyone can do that. We want you to build a building in the air. Amar shame, tala bein rekiya la'ara. So he says shame Hashem, and he suspends himself now between the ground and the air. So he's floating in the air, Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya. Amar lahu asiku le'liv nevitina. So he says, okay, now pass me the bricks. He says to them. And obviously the point, of course, is that they could not pass him the bricks. How are you going to build it? Number six, mitziyasa da amahecha. Where's the middle of the earth? Where's the center? Zakfa le etzbiyosav. Now he points his finger. Not clear from the Gemara what he's pointing to. If not, maybe just the location where he's standing right there. Amalu hacha. I'm sorry, amalu hacha. He says, here. Amar le umiyemar. So they said, okay, prove it. Right? You can't just simply point to an arbitrary place. Aisu ashle umashche. So, okay. So go get me ropes, and we'll measure. Okay, number seven. Isu bira bedabra aila lamasa. There is a pit out there that we want to bring into the city. Right? Am I saying it correctly? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a well. I want you to bring into the city. So Amar Lei. So he says to him, Ashile Chavle Mefare Va'ile. So he says, okay, bring me ropes, but the ropes have to be made out of a bran, right? The refuse of a wheat kernel, and with those ropes, we'll pull the well together. Okay. Number eight, Islan Recha De Tabre Chayte. So they said, you know, we have a reach, a millstone. And it broke. And we want you to stitch the millstone together. Right. Stitch a stone together. Broken pieces of stone together. So Amar Kuchli Minai Garde V'Achete. So he said, no problem at all. So just give me some threads made out of stone. And of course I'll stitch it together. Number nine. Mashra de Sakina B'Mai Katla. Let's say you're growing out in your field. And instead of growing wheat or barley, you grow knives out in the field. Okay, a field made out of knives, out of swords. So mashra b'may katle. So how do you cut it? How are you going to harvest that? Now usually you use a sickle, right, a knife to harvest. But how are you going to harvest knives? So b'karna d'chamra. So we'll use a horn of a donkey. His response is to them. Umi'ika karna d'chamra. So they said, but wait a second. Come on, donkeys don't have horns. So his response is Umiika Mishra de Sakina. So you're gonna have a field of knives. Number 10. Aisu le tre bei. Go bring me two eggs. Amale hai dezakta uchmase, vahai dezakta chivarte. And one of them comes from a black hen and the other one comes from a white hen. And I want you to tell me which one's which. Now the eggs themselves, of course, no difference. Aisu lehu iu tre gavine. So his response was, okay, let's bring two cheeses. Amaluhu hadi izu chmasa v'haydi izu chaverta. Now let me ask you, of these two cheeses that I put in front of you, which one comes from a black goat and which one comes from a white goat? Okay, you'll tell me the difference, I'll tell you the difference. Number 11. Ritsutsa demayis mehechi nafek ruche. You have an egg where there's a fertilized chick inside and the chick dies inside. So the ruach has got to leave, but it's in an egg right now. How is the ruach getting out of the egg? The answer, he says, is very easy. Mehecha da'al nafak. The same way the ruach got in, that's the same way the ruach is going to come out. Number 12. Achvelein mana de lo shavi chavile. Could you show us a utensil? Mana is a utensil. Can you show us a utensil where it's not worth its depreciation? Meaning, of course, everything depreciates. You buy a new car, and you know the moment you drive it out of the lot, so it starts depreciating in value. Okay? But how much is it going to depreciate? No more than that which you paid. And if it does, by the way, it means you paid too much. But is there a utensil where its depreciated value is going to be greater than its original value? So I say, budja pashtua lohava ayo. So he brought in a mat, and he spread out the mat, but the mat was not able to come in through the door. Lo ayo bitara. Can't go. It couldn't go in through the front door. Amaluhu aisamare sisruha. So they brought in some axes, some sort of equipment, and they had to break the door in order to get the mat inside. So in other words, the mat cost whatever it cost, but the damage that it caused just to get the mat inside was much greater than the actual mat itself. Hainu mana de lo shava chavile. There is a utensil where its depreciation is greater than the actual utensil itself. Okay. And that ends the debate. And, I don't know where the judges were on the debate. I don't know who judged the debate, right? It's hard to even understand a lot of these exchanges to begin with. But he was declared the winner of the debate in every one of them. I mean, just from the simple formula of, he got the last word in every one of these exchanges. So he wins the debate. And now they have to go on a boat ride with him. They have to go on a cruise. So now he puts them on the boat. Now remember, each boat had on it 60 chairs. So each one was thinking to themselves, oh good, meaning the others are going to join me on this, on the ship. And it was basically a way of luring them onto the boat. Amr le lesafuna shari sfinasech. The captain... right, I'm sorry. So he says to the captain, Shari Sfinasech, untie the ship. Now before he leaves, one last thing he does in Athens, before they're leaving Athens, and that is he takes dirt from Athens. You'll see why in just a second. Top of Tesamad Aleph, Kimatu Lebei Bli'i. Now they go out to the sea. Bei Bli'i, Rashi says, Mayim Shebu'u Kaina Shebolam Kol Meimo Sheba'olam. So you heard of the Bermuda Triangle. So Rashi says that there was something like that. I understand the Bermuda Triangle doesn't actually exist.
It's a whirlpool.
Right? But Rashi describes that there was some place out there in the Ukainus, in the Mediterranean Ocean, where it turns out that ships would go and they would just sink, like a whirlpool. And Rashi goes on to write, Shenofen bo mevino sam atahomu poletus osam vahainu dichsiv vahayam einenu male. Pasuk in Koheles, where it just seems to be that this water swallows other water. Okay? Fine. So, Kimata lebe belia male kuza demaya. So, he goes and he takes some of this water, swallowing water. Mi be belia. Karasu kumnayu kami kesar chazinu dahave ma'ane. Now, he goes all the way out to visit the Caesar. Right? So, on the boat ride, takes him out of Athens and go visit the Caesar. I mentioned yesterday, I'm not sure where Caesar is, meaning could be that he's in Rome or could be that he's in Israel. Okay. Rome sounds better. So he now presents to Caesar the 60 elders of Athens. But they appear to him to be ma'ane. They appear to be like down, right? Rashi, me'unim u'shfeilim, right? Like on Yom Kippur, right? V'inisem es nafshoseichem. Okay, you got to be a little bit down. So amalei hani lav ninhu. So Caesar says, I don't know who you brought me. Meaning these aren't chachmei aton. Chachmei aton are obnoxious, they're loud. Right? Who is, this is not them. Shakum afrayhu. So what does he do? He takes the dirt, he throws the dirt on them, meaning the dirt from Athens, and now they're comfortable, meaning home court advantage. You know, like when you're on your home, when you're in your home country, you're comfortable. So he takes the dirt of Athens and he sprinkles on them. Vishadi lave, throws it on them. Akshu la'ape malka. And now they're rude and obnoxious. There we go. Chachmei aton. Now I see who you are. Yeah, they're back. Amar le called the bais avid behu. He says to them, I'll do whatever I want with you. I sinu maya de aisume beblia shadinu betigde. So the last thing Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya does with them is he says, look, I'll send you guys home, but there's one last thing I need you to do. And he pours some of the swallowing water into the bucket, and he says to them, I want you to fill these buckets with water. But because they have some of that ukinus water inside, so whatever water you're going to pour in there is just going to absorb, and the jugs will never get filled. Amaluhu mayluhu luhu, you fill these, ve'azilu luhu, and then you can go. Malu v'shadu be kame kame uvaluhu malu. Uvalaluhu. And they filled it up, but the water just kept absorbing and absorbing. And they could not fill the buckets. Uvalaluhu malu ad deshamit katfayu. They got dislocated shoulders. Uvalaluhu va'azal. And they got worn out. Rashi balu v'halchu la'avadun. They got these chachmei aton simply got lost forever. And adkan divrei agadata, that is the end of the piece of agadata. Again, you want more? There's a lot here. You want more discussion on this? So Rabbi Aaron Feldman, Juggler and the King. All right. All right, and the notes over there? I'm sure. It's the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says a pshat. You know the Vilna Gaon, he didn't write any of it, meaning it was all written by his Talmidim. So, yeah, you have Pirkei Avos. You have a Pirkei Avos here? No? Okay. You have a Pirkei Avos? No, I think he put each one of them on one ship. That's what it seems like. Chamisha Talmidim. No, thank you. Chamisha Talmidim, this is Perek Bey's Mishnah Tess. Chamisha Talmidim Hayula Rav Yochan Ben Zakkai. Rav Yochan Ben Zakkai had five students. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Yoshua Ben Chananya, Rabbi Yosef Akon, Rabbi Shimon Ben Nasan, Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach. Huya Meshavchan, and he would praise them. And what do you want to hear Rabbi Yoshua Ben Chananya's praise? Rabbi Yoshua Ben Chananya, Ashrei Yula Dito. Fortunate is the one who gave birth to him. That was a praise of Rabbi Yoshua. Right. He says, he's not the one who said Lev Tov. Lev Tov, right, very good. The Abba Shalom, right? Rabbi Lazar Omer Ayin Tov, Rabbi Yoshua Omer Chaver Tov. He was a good friend.
Was he one of the ten?
The ten martyrs?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Rabbi Elazar, it's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar who said Lev Tov, right? And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach wins. And then what should you distance yourself from? So Rabbi Yoshua consistent says Chavara, stay away from a bad friend. Okay, all right. Yes. Okay, we start with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah now in the middle of Testament Aleph. Chamor shelo bichra. Okay, back to halacha. I know, after the Agarata, so exciting. The halacha goes like this. You have a firstborn donkey. Firstborn donkey needs to be redeemed. And if you don't redeem it, so then you have to break the neck of it. And redemption comes in the form of a sheep. You take a sheep, as the Mishnah is about to tell us. Sheep doesn't have to be anything special. Old, young, even could be a blemished sheep. You take a sheep, you redeem. Yeah, Mishnah will say, even a Balmum. And then you take the sheep and you redeem it. You redeem the firstborn donkey with the sheep. Your firstborn donkey now is free and clear. It's all yours. And you take the sheep and you hand it to a Kohen. You say, Kohen, this is yours. Okay? Good. So far, so good. Very straightforward. Chamora shelo bichra. The Mishnah starts. Let's say the donkey did not give birth to its firstborn yet. V'yaldashne zacharim. And it gave birth to two boys. Maybe let's say twins. Twin boys. And you don't know which one came out first. Okay? Unclear. Doesn't matter. Point is that your donkey gave birth to a firstborn son. Even if you cannot identify which one it is, it's going to get redeemed anyway. It needs to be redeemed anyway. And so consequently, what you're going to do is you're going to take a sheep and you're going to redeem it. And the statement is very simple. Whichever one is the firstborn donkey, its kedusha is going to go to the sheep, and then you give the sheep to the Kohen. No saying, Tla echad la Kohen. So far, so good. Next. Zachar unekeva. Let's say it gave birth to a boy and a girl, and again, you don't know which one came out first. So, mafrish tla echad le'atzmo. The Mishnah's ruling is that you have to take a sheep, separate it, say, this sheep will go to the firstborn, but the firstborn only has kedusha if that firstborn was the boy. The first one that came out was a girl. Then the girl does not have any kedusha, and the boy is not the firstborn, so you wouldn't have to do anything. But on the chance that maybe the first one that came out was a boy, so you take a sheep, and you say that the kedusha of the chamor will go to the sheep. And then, follow carefully, you don't give the sheep to the Kohen. You keep the sheep. Why? Very simple. Because the sheep does not have any intrinsic kedusha. The sheep, although it was used to redeem the kedusha of that firstborn, but the sheep is not intrinsically holy. This is only a mamonos issue. It's just monetary question. Do I give this to the Kohen? Remember, it's the rule when it comes to mamonos. Hamotzi mechaver alav araya. Ownership in Judaism is 10/10 of the law. And so therefore, the Kohen now is coming to you and saying to you, give me my sheep. And you say, but I don't know. I don't know if the sheep legitimately belongs to you because I don't know what came out first, the male or the female. It's good. So that's the second part of today's daf. Meaning the question, I'm going to repackage your question. Does a donkey have any intrinsic value prior to its redemption? Does that donkey need to be redeemed?
Right. But in the process of redemption, the idea that you're actually handing it over to the Kohen, or the process of the redemption that you're actually transferring one?
Well, we know. The Torah says, here's the starting point of the conversation. We know that the Torah says that if you do not redeem the sheep, if you do not redeem the donkey, v'areftoh, you have to behead it. So that donkey has something to it, for sure. So now whatever it has, I transfer it over to the sheep.
But the thing is, isn't part of the process then, isn't it a two-step process? One is to transfer the kedusha to the sheep. The second step is to give it to the Kohen.
Correct, but that giving to the Kohen, the point of the Mishnah, is that giving to the Kohen is a monetary requirement. It's a monetary obligation. It is nothing more than that. I understand you're looking for more than that, and I understand why you're looking for more than that, but the way the Mishnah is presenting it to us, that's it.
But
it's a question of money.
To be put, it just means you're transferring status, that's it? Nothing to the Kohen? All you have to
nothing, and the sheep goes to the Kohen. But because now this sheep is questionable whether or not it needs to go to the Kohen, so you get to keep it. Amotzi mechaveru. Okay. With kedusha, it's always the case. Meaning with money, any suffix by money, hamotzi mechaveru alav araya. You need absolute proof if you're going to take money away from somebody else. Because possession. Kedusha, we're always going to tend to be machmir, but the sheep does not have kedusha. I understand that's a chiddush, but that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. We'll talk about that. Okay, good. Mafrish tle echad la'atzmo. Good. Case number 3 of the Mishnah. Shtei chamorav shelo bichra. You have two donkeys, and you know that neither of them had given birth yet. V'yalda shnei zecharim, and each one of them gives birth to one male. Good. No saying shnei tzalayim l'kohen. So you give one sheep to a kohen. Why did I say one? Okay, thank you. Two. Shnei Talayim Lekohen. You give two to the Kohen. Zachar Unakeva. Let's say one gives birth to a male and the other one gives birth to a female. Not yet. Just it's a setup. It's just a setup for the next. Shnei Zachar Unakeva. One gives birth to a male and the other one gives birth to a female. Oh, Shnei Zacharim Unakeva. Or one gives birth to a male and the other one gives birth to a male and a female. And again, the one that gave birth to a male and female, you don't know which one came out first. No saying Tla Echad Lekohen. In both of these cases, just simply give one sheep to the Kohen, because one sheep for sure you know is required to be used to redeem. Shtei Nekevos V'Sachar. What about this? What about one gave birth to a female and the other gave birth to a female and a male? Oh, Shnei Zecharim V'Shtei Nekevos. Or one gave birth to a boy and girl, the other one gave birth to a boy and a girl, and you do not know which one came out first. Ein lekohen klum. The Kohen does not get anything. It would seem like, although the Mishnah does not say this, that you would still need to redeem,
two
but
or one?
It would seem that you would need to redeem two.
One is male, one is female, no?
But there are two. Two donkeys.
Two
but neither of them go to the Kohen. Achas bikra v'achas shlo bikra. Last case of the Mishnah. You have two donkeys, one already gave birth. And so the whatever's coming out now, even if it's a male, will not have any kedusha. And one has not given up birth, one hasn't given birth yet. V'yalda shnei zecharim, and each one delivers a male. No sin tle echad l'kohen. Good, you give one tle to a kohen. Straightforward, not much of a chiddush. Zachar unakeva. One gives birth to a male, and the other one gives birth to a female. And now you try to retrace your steps, but you do not know which one gave birth to the male, which one gave birth to the female. Is the Bichra, the one that already gave birth, did she?
But the offspring goes to the mother, so we know which one was,
But we don't, in other words, they got mixed up. They got mixed up. So Zachar Nekeva Mafish La'echad La'atzmo. Okay, good. So in other words, set aside a sheep on the chance that maybe the one Shalo Bichra gave birth to the male. Set aside a sheep, but now the Kohen wants to take it from you. Shenamar upetach hamor tifteh b'seh mina k'savim mina izim. Zachar unekeva gadol v'katan tamim uvamom. What sheep do you use? Whatever you want. First of all, it doesn't even have to be a sheep. It could be a sheep. It could be a goat. It could be male. It could be female. It could be large. It could be small. It could be perfect. It could be blemished. This sheep is not going to be used as a carbon. The pigeon chamor, the sheep used to redeem the donkey, is just simply a, what's it called? It's manos kohen. It's given to the kohen, but it does not have kedusha. Upo debo pa'amim harbe. Now the Mishnah says you could double dip with a sheep. You could redeem it multiple times. Now Rashi explains both over here, and back when we saw this line of the Mishnah earlier in the Masechta, that does not mean that you, the owner of many donkeys, who have, let's say, many firstborns, could just simply say, okay, the Kedusha is going to go into this sheep, and the Kedusha of that donkey is going to go into the same sheep. You can't do, even though that's what the Mishnah sounds like. But rather, what Rashi says is like this. You have, let's say, two firstborn donkeys, and now you need to redeem twice. So here's what you can do. You can redeem the first one on the sheep. Now you have to give the sheep to the Kohen. It's property of the Kohen. And the Kohen sells it back to you. Now you could take the same sheep and use it to redeem again. That's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says you can be po de bo pa'amim harbe. But it does not mean that you can just simply, that one sheep can absorb the kedusha of multiple donkeys. It's not. Huh? Right. Nichnas ledir lehis aser ve'imes nenembo. And then the Mishnah makes two last statements which are really difficult to understand. And that is that the sheep goes into the pen in order to go through the process of Meiser Behema. And if the sheep dies, you can get Hana from it. Both of those statements will be discussed later on. Not today. I don't even think tomorrow. Okay. Mantana Rav Yirmiyah Deloka Rav Yossi Aglili. Look, our Mishnah is discussing multiple births, twins. And the Mishnah is talking about the first case of the Mishnah, right? Two males are coming out, so the twins are coming out. Now, right, I've had a little bit of experience with this over the course of my life, although I understand. We're talking about donkeys. But the Gemara is going to entertain the following. It's possible. Huh?
Oh, the twins.
No, even the first. Yeah. Although to be honest, they came out cesarean, so I got a break, and I lost out on the opportunity of a mitzvah of pitching a bed. It's possible that the two twins are coming out at the same time. Now I know that's hard to imagine, right? It sounds extraordinarily painful, but it's possible. Okay. Now it's a photo finish, meaning which one? Sorry, which one came out first? So now Rav Yosef Glili entertains the possibility of Efshar L'Tzamtzem. You see this topic come up again and again throughout Shas, and that is, can we tell with precision? Rav Yosef Glili is of the opinion that you can, and it's possible, according to Rav Yosef Glili, that we can identify that the two animals came at the same time. Now, let's say that's all true. It would mean then, according to Rav Yosef Glili, that you would have two firstborns. I know that sounds strange, but again, this is all within Rav Yosef Glili, and it sounds like from our Mishnah that our Mishnah doesn't hold of any of this. Because our Mishnah says that even when the two come out, one of them, and only one of them, is going to have Kedusha. So the Gemara's conclusion is very simple. Our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yosef Glili. Good. We've seen that before. So Mantanam Rav Yirmiyah Deloka Rav Yosef Glili. So Rav Yirmiyah is the one who says that our Mishnah is not like Rav Yosef Glili. D. Rav Yosef Glili. Hamar Efshalat Samsem. Because Rav Yosef Glili says Efshalat Samsem, which means that both animals that come out simultaneously will have Kedusha. Amar Abaye Afilutem Rav Yosef Glili. Shani Hasim Dechziv Hazicharim LaHashem. So Abaye says, no, don't leave Rav Yosef Glili out of our Mishnah. I agree with you that according to Rav Yosef Glili, Efshar L'Tzamtzem, right? You could be precise. And we can determine that the two came at the same time. And I also agree with you that Rav Yosef Glili will hold that the first two that come out simultaneously will both have Kedusha. But that's only by kosher animals. We are discussing the chamor, the non-kosher animal. They're one and only one. V'ligmar minei. So the Gemara says, but that's so strange. Meaning, so by kosher animals, you can have the simultaneous twin bechor, and here by non-kosher, you won't? So the Gemara says, Hamiyat Rechmana Hazicharim, the firstborns. Meaning, yes, in the world of Kedusha Saguf, by kosher animals, it can happen. But not in our discussion, because the Torah minimizes the Hazicharim. There and only there do you have the twins, the twin firstborns. Now, the Gemara is going to give us another version. This next version is pretty much identical. I think the only difference is that it's not introduced by Rav Yirmiyah. I think so. So anyway, Deloka Rav Yosef Glili, Rav Yosef Glili, Hamar Shalat Samsem, Hamar Abaye, Filotem Rav Yosef Glili. And Abaye says, no, our mission is going like Rav Yosef Glili, Chani Hasim Dechsev HaZecharim LaHashem. So Bishlam LaRav Yirmiyah Delo Mokulak Rav Yosef Glili, Hain Delo Ketani V'yatsu Shnei Roshem Ke'echad. So the Gemara says, I really prefer Rav Yirmiyah, meaning that our mission is not going like Rav Yosef Glili. Ela LaAbaye, listen V'yatsu Shnei Roshem Ke'echad. But according to Abaye, wouldn't our Mishnah like to provide for us the biggest Chiddush? Meaning, if Abaye is right, and our Mishnah is going like Rav Yosef Glili, see, the Mishnah can really slam the point home by simply illustrating the following scenario. And the two came out at the same time. And the Mishnah would then say, but only one of them has Kedusha. If the Mishnah would have done that, the Mishnah would have been giving us the biggest Chiddush, which we assume every time we learn a Mishnah, the Mishnah is interested in giving us a Chiddush, the biggest Chiddush. And on top of that, let me show you a brisa. And the brisa says that if I have twins coming out of the donkey, and they come out at the same time and they're both male, they both have kedusha, and we're talking about donkeys. V'haki k'siv hai b'kedusha s'gufu d'chsiv. Elam ishim sh'nema ha'zecharim l'Hashem. And the pasuk says, "Hazacharim, the firstborn males." So you see that you have an opportunity for kedusha, even when we're talking about donkeys. To yufta de Abaye, to Yufta. And the Gemara just simply says, okay, we reject Abaye's viewpoint. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, it is possible to have two firstborns. Okay, I provided for you trivia of the week, right? Can you have two firstborns by a single mother? And the answer is, well, it's a little complicated, but the answer is yes. But according to Rav Yossi Aglili, who holds Efshel Atzamtzim, and he darshan sapasik hazecharim, the firstborns. And Abaye is proven to be incorrect in that it's true not only by kosher animals, it's true also by firstborn donkeys as well.
Everybody's.
You're right.
Before, not. And the thing is that
it's a generic term, right. Not a specific to one animal.
And the whole concept of peter rechem is not physically possible to have two animals doing peter rechem.
Right.
One has got to open it.
Okay. Point well taken.
So if that's the case, in all the cases of the Mishnah we just read, that there are two and we don't know which one was the one, we can say that both came at the same time.
Right, we could say that, and correct, and that's exactly the Gemara's conclusion. Meaning, the Gemara's conclusion is our Mishnah is not Rav Yossi Aglili. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, you're correct. V'rabbanan, we're now on the top of Tetz Amud Beis. V'rabbanan lema kasav v'rabbanan mixes rechem akdish di kula rechem akdish nehi di efshal tzamsim chatzitza miha ika. The Gemara would like to introduce one more issue over here. Two babies are coming out of the mother at the same time. And our Mishnah does not subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi Aglili, which means that only one of them will have Kedusha. But the Gemara says, but I will make the following observation. When whichever one was the firstborn comes out, it didn't make contact, physical contact with the entire rechem, the entire opening of the mother. Now we know the following. What gives the firstborn Kedusha? The fact that it came into contact with the mother, with the opening of the mother, the rechem of the mother, as it was coming out. The Torah says, Peter rechem. And the assumption now, at this point in time, is that it has to make full contact with the full rechem as it's coming out. And here, if I have two babies coming out simultaneously, it's only touching, at most, half of the rechem, not the whole rechem as it's coming out. And so the Gemara says, "Afilu mixas rechem makdish," that even if it only touches some of the rechem, it's still going to be makdish, right? By the way, there's a lot of discussion amongst the contemporaries. What if a firstborn comes out with forceps? Mm-hmm. Right. So,
what's the definition of peter rechem? What are we talking about?
We're talking right. Which part of the opening?
Yeah.
Which part of the entrance?
I mean, there are women who are about to go to a regular vaginal delivery. All of a sudden, they were a C-section.
Right. So
C-section. And so was there peter rechem there? And
usually, in this regard, we're talking about the exposed area, not anything in utero. Okay. Usually, that's what we're talking about. But anyway, so the Gemara says it's a valid observation, but it's not a good conclusion. The Gemara says because here, dihidi if shalatzamta chatzita mi'ika. The Gemara says because one animal serving as a chatzita, and the Gemara says amarav min bemino eno chotzeitz. Not relevant to our discussion because the other baby that's coming out is not a chatzita. It's the same type, and we have a general rule of min bemino eno chotzeitz. Like types does not perform a chatzita, which means that other baby that's coming out at the same time is not serving as a barrier. It's as if the firstborn is making contact with the entire rechem as it's coming out. Zachar nekeva mafrish tlat. Kevin delatzmo hu lama lilafrushe. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you're keeping the sheep, so why are you setting aside? But the Gemara says very simply, lafkua l'isuri mine. Because firstborn has an isser. Now we move on to our discussion, which a number of you asked me while we learned the Mishnah. What's the status of the peter chamor before you redeem it? So the Gemara's observation is, it must have Kedusha. Must. Because I got to redeem it. Granted that the sheep, I get to keep it. But the whole purpose of redemption must be because it has Kedusha. And I got to remove the Kedusha. Alma, so now the Gemara makes what seems to be a very logical conclusion. Kevan de lo mafka, aser behana'a. That if I have a firstborn donkey, I'm not allowed to get benefit from it. It is aser behana'a. And it is so until I redeem it with the firstborn sheep. So Masisa Mani Rav Yehuda he. Now that we've said that, sounds like our mission is going like Rav Yehuda. Did tell you we learned in the Braisa. Petah Chamor Asar Bana. The firstborn donkey, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Rabbi Shimon says, nah, you're allowed to get hana from it. So my time to Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Uli, Yishtacha, Dafa, Shetzarach, Bidiyo, Mutar. So the Gemara says, and here's the basis for Rabbi Yehuda. It's an argument, very good argument. I understand, how if the Torah is expecting you to redeem something, doesn't that mean that it has Kedusha? Just in other words, just work backwards. If the Torah is saying you must redeem it, it must mean that it has Kedusha. So the Gemara says, that's not a convincing argument because firstborn human. Firstborn human is given to a Kohen. No, he's not. No. you get to keep him. And not only do you get to keep him, but you can benefit from him. What exactly does that mean? It means that he can serve you some drinks. I understand. Not at 15 days of age, but I'm saying, but as he gets older, you can. Right. Even if you have to ask him more than once, which is sometimes the case, occasionally. Now you know the firstborn son is not asar b'hana. You know that. In other words, by humans. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm gonna redact my statement. I'm gonna refine my statement. You're right. By humans, it's not asar b'hana. But look at this. With that firstborn donkey, the Torah says redeem it, and the Torah says how to redeem it. You have to use a sheep. Must be that it has some sort of kedusha. Rav Nechemya bereid Rav Yosef parikle b'shilke. So the Gemara says, now I'm going to tell you a story. It's a short story that Rav Nechemya, when he had his firstborn donkey, he redeemed it with cooked vegetables. He didn't even use a sheep; he used cooked vegetables. So the Gemara says, now b'shavya lo kamar. I'm sorry, b'shavyav. And whatever the donkey cost, let's say the donkey cost $100. So he redeemed it with $100 worth of cooked vegetables. So the Gemara says, "B'shavya lo kamar ki kamar inshallah b'shavya." The Gemara says, "Yeah, that's true, but when you redeem it with a sheep, you don't have to worry about dollar for dollar. Meaning that let's say the donkey's worth $100, and let's say the sheep that he used to redeem it, old sheep, right, worn out sheep, it's a $50 sheep. Doesn't matter. The redemption works." And now, that's the argument. The argument is, if the Torah is telling you redeem it with a sheep, and the sheep doesn't even have to cost the same as the donkey, but you see that there's something there. There's got to be something there. Where the Torah is telling you, you must redeem its value, it must be that's because it has Kedusha. So the Gemara says, okay, but by Meister Sheni, the Torah is makbid. The Torah says Meister Sheni needs to be redeemed. And not only that, can't be redeemed with just anything. It's redeemed with Kesef Tsuri, minted coins. You cannot redeem your Meister Sheni with Asimon, with just pieces of metal. But you have to be redeemed with minted coins, and we have a Mishnah in Kedushin that says that if you go over to a woman and you say, I want to be Mekadosh you with Meiser Sheni, it works. Bemazin. It works. The Kedushin works. So you see that the Meiser Sheni, even though it needs to be redeemed, you can get benefit from it. So bebetu chamor nami mikdashik the revelazer dam revelazer isha yadashi and Meiser Sheni mitchala ayada v'olav ochlasa b'Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, bad example. Because when she's given the Meister Sheni, she understands what that means. She understands that she has to go to Yerushalayim and she has to eat the Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim. Right? Hachanami Isha Yodata Petrachamor Isuri Isbei. Uparkale Besei Umakdisha Bahachta Beni Beni. So the Gemara says, same thing with when you give her as your Kesef Kedushin, you give her your firstborn donkey. She understands. A firstborn donkey? Oh, I can't do anything with it. It's a firstborn donkey. So what she'll do is she'll redeem it with a sheep. Now remember, you don't need to go dollar for dollar. So let's say the sheep is 50 cents on the dollar. So that means now that she has to buy the sheep, but the sheep only costs half of what the donkey costs. give it to a Kohen, but she got a bonus because she only had to pay 50 cents on the dollar to redeem the sheep. That means that she got 50 cents on the dollar. And good. And so that's how the Kiddushin works. So far, the Gemara has not successfully argued that the Petach Hamor is or is not Aser B'Hana. So tomorrow we continue the discussion, see whether or not the firstborn donkey is actually Aser B'Hana. And good. Okay. Rechanai Menachashim Arvah Sekash Baruch Yisach Yisrael Ficha Achir B'Hantar Mitzvah Shenem Arnei Chafetz Manzikoy Yagil Torvi Yadir.